On this first Sunday after Christmas, we hear about the new young family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, going to the temple for important rituals of the Jewish faith. And as we join the young family in the temple with our imaginations, I invite you to consider our questions for this morning. What role do rituals play in your lives? And how do they sustain you? How do they sustain us together? Let us open our ears, our eyes, our imaginations to hear this ancient story. When 8 days had passed, Jesus' parents circumcised him and gave him the name Jesus. This was the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then, when the time came for their ritual cleansing in accordance with the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. They offered a sacrifice in keeping what's stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, a man named Simeon was in Jerusalem at that time. He was righteous and devout, and he eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. And Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. And this is what Simeon said. Now, Master, let your servant go in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel. His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your innermost being as well." Now, at the same time, there was also a prophet whose name was Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, which means face of God. And she belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years, when she was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but she worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. For the good news of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to
Let us pray. God of old stories and new beginnings, God of ancient motions and new ideas, we come into this place together that we might learn from you, that you might open our hearts, that we would deepen in our understanding of what it means to be human and what it means to be in relationship with you. So may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. And let the people say,
Amen.
Thank you to those of you who merged up here a little bit more. There's still room over in these pews. There's still room in the chairs. These chairs are more comfy than the pews. Come on up while we're doing this if you'd like to. We've been following a curriculum for worship and also some in our church school this Advent called How Does a Weary World Rejoice? Does that sound familiar to some people? We've been reiterating it over and over. It sounds familiar to Bryn. We're grateful for that. So what this whole curriculum has been about is when the world feels weary, as it often does when we turn on our media feeds every morning or any time during the day, what does it mean to sink into rejoicing? We heard Tricia sing beautifully on Christmas Eve last Sunday night, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices while yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And that's what we're leaning into. And the first week, Kate reminded us that leaning into silence, like Zechariah's silence during the pregnancy, is a way to reconnect with rejoicing and our joy. Can you all hear me back there? Okay. The second week, I talked about connecting with others, how Mary and Elizabeth connected with each other about their pregnancies. And then Amy talked about how songs, familiar songs, remind us and sink us back into joy. We then had the wonderful Christmas morning pageant, Christmas Eve morning pageant, Christmas Eve, and today we're talking about rituals. So I invite you to turn in your worship order to those questions we offered you at the back, and I'd just like you to think about these. I'm going to say a few words up front here, and then I'd like to open it up a little bit. About the middle of your worship order, you will find them at the ends of the worship order. Take home questions. So what rituals of our faith have special meaning to you and why? How do they make you feel? What rituals, personal and public, do you practice outside of church? And how do rituals ground your life? You'll find these right about in the middle of your worship order. Everyone finding them okay? Great. I also just want to hold your place there and turn to the very front of your order of worship. It's a little bit like a class today. This curriculum has given us some lovely poems, and I just invite you to hear this one that we offered for your own silent reflection, but let's hear it out loud. It's called Muscle Memory. When the world falls apart around me, when the rug is pulled and the house is on fire, when all I can do is swallow the cry in my throat, take me to the table. Tell me how people have fed each other. Tell me how they've torn the bread with wrinkled hands and children's hands. Tell me how they've said, this love is for you, as they looked you in the eye. Then take me to the font, float my hands in the pool. Let me feel weightless. Tell me to leave my burdens there. Then take me to the front doors and remind me how we throw them open. Take me to the creaky pews, pews that have held the straightened spines and silent prayers of so many. Take me to church. Move me through the rituals. Tell me why it matters so that next time, when someone else's world falls apart, I will have the muscle memory to share. Each of us today came here to enter again into ritual, this thing we do called worship. And this order that we give you printed is the way we spell it out and we re-enter it again and again. And we do it as a way to ground ourselves in some ways, an alternate reality, to one that we don't consider in our daily lives, the reality of God, God's reality of how to live our lives, to deepen us in the source of our being, so that hopefully when we leave this place, we have a renewed sense of how to be in the world. At least, I'll tell you, that's how we think about ritual as we design worship. Susan, Amy, and me, and our seminarians, and others who join us in that, is what is the spiritual food we're going to need, and how is the table laid, and how do we share in that ritual together? This curriculum pointed me to an article that the columnist David Brooks wrote about 4.5 years ago on ritual, which I found very useful and helpful. He said he'd been playing a game in his head called There Should Be a Ritual For... And here's some of the things that had been playing in his head. There should be a ritual for when a felon has finished their sentence and is welcomed back whole into the community. There should be a ritual for when a family moves onto a street and the whole block throws a cookout of welcome and membership. There should be a ritual for kids in modern blended families when they move in and join their lives together. There should be a ritual for when you move out of your house and everyone shares memories from the different rooms in that house. There should be a ritual for returning soldiers in which the community assumes responsibility for the things the soldier had to do to defend the nation. There should be a ritual for that moment around age 27 or 28 when a young adult leaves the wandering post-school phase and begins to get a sense of shape and direction for their life. And maybe talking about some important transitions, naming your limitations, befriending your inner life, realigning your central focus, perhaps creating a life map of where they've been and hope to go and present it to their peers. As I read through these, I thought, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff we do in church. When we do baptisms, when we do blessings. We've even done it when we have people write their statement of faith and share it, or create life maps and present them in an artistic way. We are one of the few institutions in this culture that does this on a regular basis. Brooks' critique is that our hunger for rituals is so big that when we come upon one of the few remaining ones that we do as a culture as a whole, weddings, bar mitzvahs, quinceañeras, we tend to overload them and turn them into expensive, bloated versions of themselves. Get a few amens up there. He also mentions an author, Jim Clark, who wrote in a book, Creating Rituals, that ceremonies honor what has taken place. But rituals are a sequence of actions that symbolically walk us through the interchange in this new stage of life required. When we do a baptism, this is taking us through the ritual steps of dying through one way of life and entering a new way of life, of being initiated into a community. When we do the communion, it is a ritual that reminds us of a meal that has taken place and gives us a form of how we can take spiritual nourishment and be emboldened to go out in the world and continue Jesus' ministry even when he isn't with us in an earthly way. Rituals often involve something, various components, bearing something, which is confronting the loss of the old, burning something, which is a kind of sacrifice, passing something around, creating a new community, anointing something, which is purification, or putting something on, embracing a new life and a new role. Rituals provide comfort because they remind us that we're not alone, that billions of people have done this before, and it's part of the timeless passages of life. They also comfort us because they concretize, they make real in front of us the spiritual experience. They also give us pause, because many of us are self-consciously dividing our lives into chapters. We focus on the big question of what this chapter is for. Rituals encourage us to be more intentional about our life, and we begin to understand some of our lives' meaning only if we step out of the immediate moment and see what came before us and what we will leave behind when they're gone, when we are gone. Now, in the passage we just read, it actually is two rituals. Mary and Joseph, it says, circumcised Jesus, and that happens after 8 days. It doesn't say much more about that, except that is how they're supposed to do it. And they gave him the name Jesus, just as the angel had told them before he was conceived. The second ritual, the ritual cleansing, is generally preserved for the mother of the child. It's a Jewish ritual that some of us 21st century people may take issue with, but it was to happen 40 days, and this is usually read and celebrated on February 2nd in the church. But we're looking at it today. What they didn't expect was to have these people who were spirit-driven in the temple at that time, Simeon, who had waited his whole life for this moment, and gave this beautiful blessing. It's called in Latin, Nunc Dimittis, now let your servant go. We say it often at memorial services when we let go of the person's spirit among us. It's a very touching moment that Simeon has holding this baby boy. And then Anna, who has lived, is now living her whole life out of spiritual and probably material need, living her whole life in the temple. And she is exclaiming the greatness of this child, something long awaited. Mary and Joseph were doing what their faith required of them, which was stepping into the ritual. But it opened them up in that moment to a whole new experience. A whole new experience of what their son's life was going to be like. Could you imagine, as a new mother, if you heard these words, that your child is going to generate opposition in this country, and the inner thoughts of many will be revealed by it, and a sword will pierce your innermost being as well? Mary probably wasn't expecting that when she went into the temple that day. So I want us to think a little bit about this season of rituals, particularly Christmas time, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and what rituals mean a lot to you. I'm also aware we have personal rituals. I've discovered recently that my personal ritual is doing Wordle every morning. When I'm not, maybe I get some thumbs up about that. When I'm not sure what the day is going to hold or where my engagement with it is going to go, I find it is very grounding to do that Wordle every morning. And now I've moved on to Connections and the Mini and sometimes the crossword puzzle. It can spend a whole morning doing all that if you want to. But I find it engages my brain in a ritual, and I realize millions of other people, including the one in my own house, is doing it alongside of me. Now, there may be rituals that you created in your households, but I'd like to open it up to those questions that we had, which is, what rituals of the faith have special meaning for you, and why? How do they make you feel? Or, what rituals, personal or public, do you create or participate in outside of church? So anyone who'd like to offer something about this season or their own rituals. Mark. Very simple ritual, but one practice in many cultures, which is getting an iced tea every day, which allows him a moment to reset. Is a particular kind of tea you get?
Just those. Black tea.
Black tea.
Yeah. Very good, and they will offer everything under the sun, and it's always the same tea. It's comforting, and it just kind of provides a respite from the day.
It is comforting and gives you a respite from the day and gives you a moment of pause.
Okay.
Cindy. So Cindy was COVID positive on Christmas Eve. She's negative today. And she said she realized not being here just felt like a huge loss, not to be in the ritual of the ceremony. Thank you. Yes, David.
Similar to
the
tea, getting up before anyone who's up in the house, making coffee,
and
doing the spelling bee.
Yes, the spelling bee. So David says, getting up early morning before anyone else in the house, making his coffee, very ritualistic, like a tea ceremony, and doing the spelling bee. I forgot about the spelling bee, making sense of words in the Times puzzle. There. Yes, Amy.
My partner and I have very specific songs that we sing to our dogs that bark at different times of the day. There's a go to the park song, a puppy breakfast song, and a puppy dinner song.
So Amy and her fiance Zach have songs they sing to the dogs at different points of the day. It's like a little Muslim ritual of prayers that you do with different songs for going to the park, for taking a walk, for breakfast. Can you favor us with one of those songs?
They are puppies and they're going to the park.
Excellent. Julie.
So it happens less often these days, but when I gather the family for dinner,
so before dinner, so having a family, bring hands together and say grace, often met with raised eyebrows, but it's important to you, and the dynamic you notice when you do that.
I think it's very connected.
Very connected. Important for Kate to light candles at various moments for various reasons, but very centering and focusing for you to do. Much like our Jewish friends lighting Shabbat candles, or as we saw Elizabeth light our Advent wreath and candles this morning, reminding us of the Christ light of the world. Anyone else? Yes, Robert. Robert, who's actually more spiritual than I am, appreciates rituals more than I do. One that he does is every day as we're driving to work, he asks me what I'm looking forward to about the day. What might be good about today? And then after I tell him, he says, and let me tell you what I think. So I invite you to continue this conversation. We can even continue it after the worship service if you'd like to do some of our 15 good minutes together. But I remind you that of our poem, to move us through the rituals. Help us know why it matters so that next time, when someone else's world falls apart, we will have muscle memory to share, to ground us in the joy of this life.